go through up and down. Come on, get a grip. Because AI is AI, we got to go through that, and we'll go through it.
Do ups and downs include throwing your wife out naked?
Excuse me?
Do ups and downs include throwing your wife out naked?
Girl, get out of my face with that crazy stuff.
That's only hearsay.
Where you get that from?
That's hearsay.
Because somebody told it to you?
True.
Did Tawana tell you that?
Yeah. I'm asking you.
Did Tawana, don't ask me nothing. Did Tawana tell you that?
I haven't spoken with Tawana.
All right, then. Don't go there with me. Don't go there with me. Don't go there with me. You
want to
keep it real, you keep it real with me. Because I ain't for no games, okay?
Thank you.
And with that, Ann Iverson was driven away. Welcome back to the God Reigns Sportscast. This is your host, Cody. I remembered after recording my last episode that I'm supposed to say my name sometime during the podcast, and I didn't do that last episode. So this episode, I did it right now. So this is the Sportscast where we talk all sports except women's sports and NASCAR. And the reason being is... See, my guest is laughing a little bit. I mean, are you a NASCAR fan?
I'm not. I did go to Talladega this year.
Okay. And women's sports, I don't care about women's sports. And I've got daughters in sports. I've got them playing different sports. I signed three of them up for soccer this year, and one will be playing baseball. But for professional women's sports, we don't talk about it here. We talk about every other sport, basically, but those two. So... we're going to be talking some college basketball tonight, some NFL, even have a little bit of discussion on some NBA things that are happening. And it's kind of old news now, but we're going to talk about it because of my guest tonight. And the reason being is because, my guest really needs no introduction. My guest is Dwayne The Rock Atkinson. I know they thought I was going to say Dwayne The Rock Johnson, but he was busy tonight. So next week he'll be on sometime.
You know, he got that Titan ship going on, so he couldn't do it.
Yeah, I know, man. That show's taking over everything now. But Dwayne, you have been known as Dwayne The Rock Atkinson. I guess I just made that up. But people call you the hardest working man in podcast land. Some people even call you Dollar Bill Dwayne.
So
if you will go ahead and just let the listeners know who you are, tell them about your podcast, all of that stuff, and then I want to talk a little bit after that about why we're going to talk about LeBron's statement on the NFL and the slave mentality and all that stuff. I think that'll be interesting. Coming from your perspective, but go ahead and just let the listeners know who you are.
Good deal, man. First, appreciate you having me on the podcast. Bummed that I wasn't on the first inaugural, but we'll take it. I've never been called Dwayne The Rock Atkinson, but you may want to try Dwayne The Bar Atkinson, because that's my thing, man. The Bar Podcast. We are a podcast that airs every Tuesday. We interview a lot of interesting guests, whether it's a well-known preacher or speaker, or even some seminary professors, and we also introduce local pastors, give them a platform, just a really laid-back, cool conversation, introducing people to just people that I think are interesting, and that's pretty much what the bar is in a nutshell.
Yeah, man, and you have a lot of good guests. I mean, right before we came on, you told me that you got wrapped up an interview with Tim Challies. It's very good production. It's not like this show. you're the hardest working man in podcast land, and I'm like second to last in that. So I just set up and record. But one of the reasons, and it is because of this bar podcast, and it's a whole network. It's not just you, right? There's
right.
there's other ones involved there, and that was part of the reason why I thought it would be interesting to hear your thoughts on LeBron James' statement with the NFL owners being compared to slave owners and stuff like that, because part of your podcast network really deals with cultural and social issues, and they deal with it in a very biblical, level-headed, and good way. I think that's a way to describe it. I mean, is that accurate?
Oh, for sure. You're talking about Just Thinking Podcast with Daryl Harris and Virgil Walker. Big shout out to those guys. Daryl is a new hire at Grace to You, new hot position, dean of social media, and Virgil Walker is in Omaha, Nebraska. And yeah, they tackle a lot of social issues. And Daryl's a prolific writer and blogger. He has his own blog called JustThinking.me, and that inspired the podcast, my idea for Just Thinking podcast. And like I said, we deal with social justice issue. I say perspective that doesn't always get the platform. We hear it mostly from one side, not just in, you know, our community reform world, but also on the major platform. Our voice and our side of the story is rarely told.
Yeah, and it's done really, really well. So I'd like to hear your thoughts on that. But first, let's start off with something a little bit lighter. We're going to start off because you're a big sports fan. So why don't you start this way first, telling us who your favorite sports teams are. Let's talk football, basketball, baseball, college football, college basketball, all of that. Just go ahead.
Okay.
Tell us your teams and we'll get started there.
All right, man. So, in college football, I'm a Clemson Tiger fan by marriage. My wife is a Clemson grad, so I definitely pull for the national champs. Love Dabo, love what he's doing with that program. College basketball, I grew up in Eastern North Carolina, so I have light blue blood. I'm a Tar Heel fan, and everyone knows that, you know, Tar Heels are just the best. They're number one in the ACC right now. But everybody knows, you know, God, when he created the sky, he said, we're gonna make it Tar Heel blue. You know, and even scripture said, you know, when Abraham was getting ready to slay his own son, you know, God had a ram in the bush. That ram is a sacrificial lamb for our atonement, man. But college basketball, I am diehard, hardcore Tar Heel fan. Baseball, college, you know, I really don't have a favorite. You know, I'm in South Carolina, and the South Carolina Gamecocks are actually pretty good. They won national championship, I think, maybe two or three times while I was in the state. Going to the professional level, NFL football, I am a Colts fan, Indianapolis Colts. I became a Colts fan in 2000. I followed Peyton Manning. I don't know if anybody remember Dreamcast. I might be dating myself, but when the Colts had Peyton Manning on Dreamcast, Edgerton James and Marvin Harrison, I was like undefeated in my dormitory. So they became my favorite NFL team. As far as basketball, NBA, I really don't have a favorite team. You know, I grew up with Jordan, you know, Chicago Bulls, and then I kind of like players. And it's funny that one of my favorite players, we're going to kind of bust him up a little bit, but LeBron James is one of my favorite players, just because I believe in greatness, and, you know, and I try to apply that kind of thing in my life. And I think he kind of epitomizes that as far as knowing, you know, his ability and his preparation. So I guess you could say I'm a Lakers fan, kind of, you know. And then I'm also, you know, I'm partial to Dwayne Wade because we had the same name, born the same month, the same year. He just has 3 inches on me, so that's the only reason why he's in the league and I'm not. So FYI for the listeners. And for baseball, I like the Braves just because it was the local team growing up. And then, you know, I was a big unit guy, man. So I was a Diamondback at one time. I like to watch them. So in between the Braves and the D, man.
All right, man. That's you're kind of all over the map, which is good because you know, there's so many people that are just localized, but it's different talking to somebody who comes from a place where there's not a whole lot of professional sports. You know, I mean, there is some, but there's not like here we have all the teams in Colorado, except I hate the Broncos. But anyways, nor there. I was gonna ask you, man, why you were a Colts fan. So I'm glad you explained that. But that's pretty that's pretty cool. And so now it's safe to assume that you are not a Patriots fan.
Oh, no, no. Right. Patriots to me is like Duke to me. So it's the same. Yeah, no, thank you. Yeah.
All right. And that was the other thing I was going to say, Duke too, because they're getting all the hype right now, man. All the hype right now with Zion, you know.
Yeah, he's actually from my neighborhood. Zion is from Spartanburg. Used to see him, used to speak to him until he committed to Duke. Then I act like I don't see him when I see him now.
That's what I was going to say. What was that like for you? Because I know there was all kinds of hope that he was going to North Carolina. And college basketball is kind of different now because of social media, and everybody has cell phones. So really, to follow college basketball, you have to start following like eighth graders, you know, because then they get up there into high school, then they're freshmen in college, and then they're in the NBA. And someone like Zion has been on the radar forever, man. So what was that like for you, seeing him with hope that, okay, maybe he'll be a Tar Heel, and then he goes to Duke?
So, you know, I never got to see a game, man. Literally, if you to go to Zion's games, you had to like camp out and like be there. I tried like once to roll up, and they literally was like, yo, it sold out. And this was like at 5 o'clock in the afternoon. He didn't play till like 7 or 8. But when I saw him like in the streets, you know, I always was like, you know, hey man, you're gonna be a Tar Heel. And he always be like, you know, give me the shoulder shrug. And even on, you know, I followed him before he made a commitment on Instagram and stuff. And I always put, you know, Tar Heel, Tar Heel. So the day he committed, it's ironic because the anniversary to the day he committed was yesterday. Mm-hmm. And I remember how you showed the memories on your Facebook and stuff. Mm-hmm. And it was like today I officially stop being a Zion Williamson fan.
That's funny, man. And I didn't know that. I didn't know that you were in the same area that you would see him and talk to him and stuff. That even makes it sting a little bit more, you know?
Oh yeah, it hurt.
So what about this? Because we see now Tennessee number one, right, in college ball. I did mm-hmm. not see that. I mean, maybe I'm just blind. I didn't see that coming. I mean, was that something you foresaw coming along this season?
Honestly, no. I thought Virginia was going to be the dominant force in the regular season again, just because of the returns they had and their defense. Tennessee, they made a little noise last year, but not so much to what I see this year, as far as their explosiveness and the way that they've been able to score, man. I did not forecast that.
Yeah, that was something that took me by surprise too, because it was kind of like they were ranked and then they just started winning and then they kept winning and they kept winning and they kept winning. Mm-hmm. And now they're here, man. And that's, that took me by surprise. And this whole hype with Duke, I think it's a little premature. I mean, I think that's because of social media. And you know how the media likes to jump on these love trains, basically. So they see mm-hmm. someone like Zion committing to Duke, and they're like, okay, Duke's number one. Duke's the best ever. Nobody's even, well, you know.
Yeah, so it's not just Zion. Much as I like to give him and take away props, RJ Barrett, that was probably the major that made everybody kind of assume, because he come from a great pedigree. Yeah. You know, had direct access to, you know, Steve Nash, and so he had a lot of exposure to really good, you know, people and people that can help him. And he came out of high school with just as much hype as Zion. So when they pulled RJ, Zion, and then Reddit, I think that's what the hype came from. Zion definitely, social media wise, is probably the most well known. You know, everybody knows him from, you know, all the clips. But when they grabbed all three, that is what made everybody kind of like, okay, they're going to be sick, you know?
Yeah, so who, in your opinion, would be a better pick for the NBA, Zion or RJ Barrett?
So, I would say, after watching, you know, them play a little bit, I think Zion would be first, just because of his, he has a lot of stuff that's transferable to the NBA. Number one is size. Yeah, I mean, he has NBA size. He had NBA size in high school, like, you know, so I think that is going to transfer. And I think people are going to look at that, and especially Cleveland, cause I think they had a number one pick. They see an opportunity, maybe a LeBron part two type deal. RJ was going to be number two, but has a better chance of being more productive because his game is much broader. Like, you know, his jump shot is great. He's a great slasher. Even though, you know, Zion has some of those things, he's just not as sharp as RJ. But this conversation cannot continue without mentioning Nasir Little. I mean, everybody forget about Nasir Little, Kobe White, Tar Heels. I'm just saying, just putting that out there.
I was going to ask you, man, who then do you think is going to be, out of all of college, and you say Zion maybe number one overall, who from other teams are do you see as better pro candidates than, you know, RJ Barrett? Or is there anybody besides Zion or, you know, from these other teams? Who are you looking at?
So, as far as next year's draft, definitely, like I said, Zion, RJ. But right after that would definitely be, I guess, is Manute Bol's nephew. He is another one that I think could be a high pick just because of, you know, the stature, you know, the name. And then he has more to his game than his uncle, I guess, or cousin, whoever he is, the new bowl. He actually has some really strong post moves. And, for the record, man, I honestly hope Nasir and Kobe stay one more year, let the little Duke thing fade away.
Yeah.
And then they'll come out maybe after that. That's what I'm hoping.
Now, is Gonzaga for real this year?
So, I think that they are decent, man. I mean, Gonzaga, they always have a strong program. The thing that I think is going to hurt Gonzaga is the fact that they have not been showing up in the big games. You know, they're winning, but it's not like the dominant, you know, national championship teams that they had before.
And this is kind of going back to Duke a little bit, but did you see Jim Boeheim's comments on Zion?
I did not. No. What did he say?
He said they asked him who he'd compare him to, and he said, "I'd compare him to Charles Barkley, except he can shoot." And he said, and then he said, "And he's not as fat as Charles was."
Oh man, Jim Boeheim. Yeah, he's a character, man. That's funny.
Yeah, man. College basketball is such a weird thing too, because all these guys. I mean, you get these top teams all year long. They're great. They're winning. And then come March Madness, man, and it can all be over, you know. And
anything can happen.
Well, you see, what's that? J.A. Morant or whatever his name is from where is he playing? Murray State or something like that, you know.
Right, like, right.
That team, man, they can upset some people. That guy's a stud, oh, you know.
For sure. And for sure.
And I'm looking at that and I'm thinking they're a good team, and I know they're ranked and things like that, but that's a dangerous team come tournament time. And college basketball, I think the differential between, you know, a number one team and you get a Duke or a North Carolina or a Tennessee, and then you go down to Murray State or whoever it is not that much. And so it's really
dangerous. No.
March Madness. And that's right around the corner, man. I mean, it's right there.
Oh yeah. Oh yeah, man. And that's the thing I love about March Madness. You know, you love it and you hate it. And you know, the thing about basketball is, anybody can be beat, man. You know, it definitely, all it takes is for the ball to bounce and not in your direction, man. And you can go down. You know, whether I always like to bring up Lehigh beating Duke in the first round. You know, nobody knew who they were. And then remember the team last year that had the nun and mascot was the golden retriever. Like, yeah, I mean, anything can happen, man. I love it.
Yeah, it's fun to watch, man. And thankfully, I'm a CU bus fan, and they're never there, so I don't have to worry. You know? they don't even make the NIT most years. So they were supposed to have like this really good draft class, and I don't know what happened, man. But it is not coming together. The years that we've been good are the years that Chauncey was there. You know, Chauncey Billups quite a few years ago. Yeah. Then we had Spencer Dinwiddie, and he was good. Mm-hmm. And Andre Roberson really helped us out, and then from then on, man, it's just been like nothing, you know. So, but at least I don't have to worry come tournament time that they're going to get knocked out by someone they shouldn't.
This is true.
Now let's stay in this basketball arena right now, and we're going to talk a little bit about LeBron's statements. I was wondering if we should put this at the end of the podcast, but we're already going to have a loser of the week segment, so I don't want to, like, you know, end it on a bad note. So I want to kind of start here with LeBron's statement, and we're staying in basketball because he came out and made the statement that seemingly was just going with the flow of the current culture, I guess. You know, he's empowered to say things like this. He's got a platform to say something like this, and I kind of want to get your thoughts on it. Because I know you've heard it. I know it's old, you know, but I wanted to get the podcast going during this time, and I couldn't get it going then. So I want to talk about it now because I think it's important. And I've got his quote right here, and I want to read it all so that way there's context and no one can say I was cherry picking. And then I want to get your feedback on it, what he's saying here. But this is what LeBron says. In the NFL, they got a bunch of old white men owning teams, and they got that slave mentality. And it's like, this is my team, you do what the blank I tell y'all to do, or we get rid of y'all. The players are who make the ship go. We make it go. Every Sunday, without Todd Gurley and without Odell Beckham Jr., without those players, those guys, there is no football. And it's the same in the NBA. The difference between the NBA and the NFL, the NBA is what we believe a player can be. The potential. In the NFL, it's like, what can you do for me this Sunday or this Monday or this Thursday? And if you ain't, we moving on. And that's it.
Gotcha. So kind of to give that context to, I guess, why he made that statement, what we've noticed in sports, you know, in the past year with the Kaepernick kneeling, and then NBA players wearing, you know, I can't breathe T-shirts and things like that. We've noticed the social justice issues being brought up on, you know, the professional platform. And more context is, you know, the commissioner for the NBA is, you know, more, I guess, liberal, more, you know, acceptable of, you know, any kind of social running behind that bandwagon. And then the commissioner for the NFL, although I don't know his stance, seems to be a little bit more conservative, and more general. So that's kind of the background to that. And then what he's referring to, would not even be an issue if the Kaepernick thing would not have happened. Honestly, he wouldn't have made that statement if the Kaepernick thing would not have happened. Although I don't agree with, everything dealing with the Kaepernick, situation, I do know context, and some of your listeners might not know. So I'll talk about that a little bit as well, if you don't mind. So the, you know, Kaepernick kneeled during the playing of the national anthem, and that was his way of protesting, which, you know, I think honestly is his right. You know, we got rights. And he was also given the idea from a soldier, you know, said, this is a way that you can do this if this is how you feel. But it was misunderstood by the masses that he was disrespecting the flag or the country. And everybody had everything to say about that, not understanding that it wasn't the flag or the country per se, but it was the situation. And when the, I guess the black community with the, you know, the shootings and all of that stuff, which, you know, everybody has their opinions of that. So when that happened, pretty much in a nutshell, he got blackballed. Like, like nobody wanted to deal with that. Nobody wanted to, you know, he got, you know, I mean, but let me rewind a little bit. During the time he was kneeling, he had already lost his starting position. So you can, a lot of people forget that part.
Right.
They're like, oh yeah, they forgot. He already was playing horribly and lost his starting position during that time. So he didn't get benched because of it. It just, you know, it was part of the cycle. And then once he was released, nobody wanted that drama. And so that is the background of what LeBron is saying. Because during that time as well, the players, the NBA players were, you know, being very vocal on, you know, black violence or police brutality, whatever they want to call it. And they were seemingly supported, by their league. So all of that feeds into his statement about the slave owning mentality and all that, which is all misleading, misguided, and ill represented. I honestly, if he wants to be real, I mean, it's the same. If that's the slave mentality, he's in the same bucket, man. He has a contract with, you know, owners. Like, of course he can say he want to go here or there. At the end of the day, they still own him. If that's the route he wants to go. It's pretty much like they own him, but hey, you want to do your little thing? Yeah, you go do your little thing. You still on my contract, you know? Yeah. So you can't call somebody that and you're in that same situation. Now, if LeBron started his own basketball league where, you know, there's no contracts and whatever, then you can make a statement like that, man. So it's very misleading. And my stance, you know, like we talked about before, especially when it comes to social justice, man, racism is a sin issue. And it is not a sin issue that will be reconciled, I think, on this side of glory. I don't think we're going to see a day where it does not exist. So instead of being in a place where you want to, you know, do this or do that, I mean, that's cool. Just don't be mad at me because I'm good. I understand that that's a sin issue, and I'm not going to do all that because I know at the end of it, even if, let's say, every white person got online and was like, hey, forgive us, we all are racist, we want to do better, it wouldn't be good enough because there's no end to a social justice issue. It's always an issue. So I know I kind of rambled there, but that's just kind of, you know, my thoughts about that. I really think that it was a poor statement, very misleading, very misguiding. And honestly, he's in the same situation. Just if he wants to call them slave masters, his master just let him do a little bit more than other masters.
Yeah, and you know, that's really interesting that you brought that up, because I was thinking about it, and I was thinking these are private companies, really. Los Angeles Lakers are their own company. The Los Angeles Clippers are their own company, even though nobody wants them. The Denver Nuggets are their own company. You know, these teams are their own private companies. They have the freedom to do whatever they want, and they should have that freedom. And, you know, I see, like, in the NFL, they get these huge contracts. I understand the players go out and make the plays. But if they didn't want those huge contracts, they don't have to go to the NFL.
You know, they facto, Mondo. Yeah, they better believe it.
And, you see, and so I saw that statement, and I was thinking, yeah, I think you hit it right on the head when you said that it's just a misleading thing. And going back to your statements on Kaepernick and how nobody wanted that drama, it's equal to or akin to Tim Tebow, you know, wherever he went,
yep.
Tebow mania. Yep. And finally, teams just didn't want it. I mean, he wasn't very good, but
right.
Teams didn't want that. They didn't want the drama. They didn't want Tebow mania coming and disrupting everything, you know, at their practices and stuff. Mm-hmm. And so you see it with Kaepernick, and I agree, man, that's what it was with him too. They just didn't want that drama wherever he mm-hmm. was, because he brought it. I mean, and I think, obviously he embraced it too, you know, wearing his Malcolm X shirts and his
big socks and things like that. Right, and that's the thing, you know, he made his stand, you know, I get it, and then he was backed and supported by people that's thinking like he's the next Martin Luther King or something, and no shout out to him either, but you know, that's another show, but people made, you know, they stood behind him like, oh, you know, this great guy that blah, 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 like, no, dog, like, you know, it is what it is, but, you know, again, you can do that and you just live with the consequences. So he got a lot of support, you know, cause unfortunately a lot of people that I admire, I mean, even in entertainment, they think on the same lines when it comes to racism and, you know, just that liberal, you know, mentality, you know? And so, those people have money and they have power. And so they kind of stood behind it. I mean, just look at, you know, what Nike did, you know, they made this big thing, you know, and again, I have nothing against Kaepernick and what he did. I get it. I understand why he did it. You know, I probably wouldn't have wrote it out, but you know, I understood why there was a legit purpose behind it. But when, you know, it just wouldn't have been me. Like I'm good. You know what I'm saying? Like I understand. God bless. I'll send those families money. I'll show up and speak at their events, but I'm not jeopardizing my job, like, you know, my career over it. I'm good.
Now, and this, just staying on this for a second longer, and then we'll move on to the NFL playoffs, Super Bowl, and all of that. But have you in your life ever experienced racism? Like you explained, I know, you know, you're from the South.
Yes.
I don't know. All right.
Yes.
Can you tell us something? Dude. About, I mean, because for those of you, those listening who can't see you, you're not white. So
no.
let's see what, tell us something about it, man, about racism.
Sure. Sure, sure. So I'm from the Eastern North Carolina. Probably about 10, 15 miles from my mom's house is a town called Dunn, North Carolina. And Dunn, April, they have what they call Mule Day. And this is a parade in the city of Dunn. And the host of the parade is the Ku Klux Klan. And they march in it to this day. So that is right down the road. I've been in gas stations where I was told to leave. You know, even, you know, this is before they had, you could pay at the pump, you know, you had to go in, thinking about 15, 16, go in like, oh no, you gotta leave. We don't serve your kind. Get out, you know, turn around, have to leave. Yeah. This is in 97, 98, you know, 99. I've my car was messing up. I had a little Honda Civic. I had pulled over. I think it was overheating or something, but it was, it wasn't even in front of his yard. It was like right at an angle. Guy came out, boy, you better get out of here, and had a shotgun and everything, man. And we jumped in that hot car and we put a little bit further down the road, you know. I've experienced it on a real level, man. And you know, even in the sports thing, because you know I played sports in school, in my high school, there was a underlying rule that on the baseball team we could only have two black guys, you know, so you had to be the best too, you know. And I wasn't in seventh grade. It was between me, my cousin Lloyd, and this dude named Jamie. Lloyd could hit the ball over the fence, and then Jamie played catcher. So I sucked, man. I was like, dang it. So that was the first time I ever got cut. And that was like an underlying rule, you know, where I grew up, man. It's real. It's real. It's out there. Some of this stuff they're complaining about now, the systemic racism, I wish y'all could see my air quotes. Yeah. That stuff, that's not real to me, man. What's real is hearing that shotgun cock. Yeah. What's real to me is, you know, people calling you the N-word, you know, to your face. What's real to me is, at being at a golf course, just getting ready to play some golf with some friends, and guys know that you're there, stand next to you, and they say, talking about tennis, which we're not going to talk about that, but talking about tennis, saying, oh, them two monkeys in the thing again, those two girls, those two monkeys. That's real racism. That's real. It's not this. It's just stuff that they're talking about.
Yeah, man. And see, that's the kind of stuff, like, I mean, here in our town, I live in what is used to be the KKK capital of Colorado. I mean, that's how it was known. It's Canyon City, but people call it Clanyon City because that's what it used to be, you know? And so to this day, there's not very many black people in Canyon City. I mean, there's one guy I know, and sometimes he comes to my church, you know, and that's it. Like, other than that, there's really not a lot of them here, man. There's just not a lot of black people here. And so I know that racism was very prevalent here, you know, and I guess they say there's all kinds of symbols in these buildings and underground tunnels and all this stuff, but the history of it is here. I personally haven't been around it where, you know, it just never even entered my mind, you know, racism. It just does not compute with me. And so, but I know in the South, things are a little bit different there. And so
sure.
I was wanting to hear that. And now it's going to be kind of hard and weird to transition from something so heavy to something so light. But we'll stay on the topic of hatred. Tom Brady, here he is, man, again in the Super Bowl. What do you think of this?
All I'm going to say is, and you probably saw my Facebook post, how are you a professional football player and you line up in the neutral zone in the biggest game of your life? I don't know if you remember when we made the intercept. I don't even care, but it's because it's the Patriots. But the Chiefs had an interception and the game, and the dude lined up in a neutral. Dude, we pay you millions of dollars to line up on the right side of the ball.
Yeah.
How do you do that? So that's all. I mean, you know, Peyton Manning is on my mind. Tom Brady, you know, you can't deny how good he is. You know, you can't deny that. He's a good quarterback. Yes. And Belichick's a good coach. You can't deny that, but I hate it.
Yeah.
I really wanted to see the Chiefs beat them so bad. Like, I really, really dislike it. Like, a whole lot.
it ruined it for me, man. Like, when I watch, because I'm a Steelers fan. I have been for years, you know. And every time they lose, it ruins hours of my day. Because I'm like, how do you lose to Baltimore? How do you lose to the Raiders like we did this year? You know, I'm sitting there thinking, how do you do this? And it just ruins things. That's how I felt after the Chiefs lost to the Patriots. That's how invested I was in that game. And I shouldn't have been. I don't care about the Chiefs. But I saw, D Ford lines up in the neutral zone. And then the next day, I'm not kidding, I got a thing on my Bleacher Report app that said the top 10 free agents this year, and D Ford was on there, and I'm like, who's gonna want that guy, man? He doesn't know what
they canceled his contract. It wasn't over. They just like, oh no, we done with him, son. Cancel that contract.
See, he was gonna be my loser of the week, and he probably should. I've got a different one, and we'll talk about that in a little bit. But at the beginning of the playoffs, because I wanted to have you on the first week of the playoffs so we could get into it, because I know you were a Colts fan. And, you know, Frank Reich is obviously awesome. And so from the beginning, I mean, did you have the Colts go into the Super Bowl in your mind? Were you thinking they're going to make it? I mean, they're on a roll. They're tough. You know, they've got this grittiness. They're winning games. Was that your pick from the beginning?
For the season or the playoffs? What are we talking about? Playoffs. Okay. Yes. Of course. Yeah. We the last 10 games, we played like we wanted it. And I felt really, really good, especially after we handled Houston. I was like, yeah, we're ready. We're legit. And then I forgot, dang it. We got to play outside. We're not good playing outside, man. We should have told the Chiefs they needed to get a dome, man, get some turf so my boys could put up a fight.
I was hoping, man. I wanted them to win it so bad because not only do I like Frank Reich, but I like Andrew Luck, man. I think that guy.
Oh yeah, me too.
He's awesome, man. I mean, he's one of my favorite quarterbacks. He's who I tell my son, this is who you need to play like, because my son's a quarterback.
Yeah.
You know, and I say, watch his toughness. Watch how he hangs in the pocket. Watch how he's not an arrogant guy. He just wants to win, you know? Mm-mm. That's what you need, this guy.
He's the reason why I stayed a Colts fan. You know, when Peyton Manning left and went to Denver and Luck came in, I gave him a year to kind of eyeball him out. You know, I didn't post much Colts stuff, but then once I saw I liked him, I was like, okay, I'm here to stay. I didn't know if I need to transfer or anything. See, I'm not a diehard. There's only one team I'm diehard for. That's Carolina basketball. But
yeah,
I'm not a diehard anywhere else.
Man, well, I wanted them to win so bad, man. And then they lose. And so then I'm like, all right, I want the Chiefs to win. The Chiefs or the Chargers. I didn't care. I wanted either the Chiefs or the Chargers to win the AFC. And I kind of wanted the Chargers a little bit because Philip Rivers has 9 kids and I have 8 kids. Well, my 8th is on the way, you know. So I was like, all right, cool. Let's see this win here. And no, they didn't do it. And then the Chiefs come along and I'm thinking, all right, if anybody's going to do it, it's going to be in Arrowhead. They're going to knock off the Patriots. Mahomes is crazy on fire, right?
Mm-hmm.
You know, like he can't be stopped. I'm thinking their defense is terrible, but they have the offensive firepower to put up 45 points a game or whatever, you know. So I'm thinking they're going to do it. Then they lose, man, and I'm sitting there thinking, no, not again.
No. You know, I blame Drake the rapper. Yeah, this is all his fault.
Yeah.
I don't know if you saw the sweater he tried to wear all the teams.
Yep.
Well, if you look at the order of the teams, man, it's like the top one was. Nah, I'm just kidding. I almost went Illuminati on you. I'm just kidding, just kidding. But no, real talk, man. I was the same way. I really wanted the Chiefs to win. And when they didn't score on their first two possessions, I pretty much said, we are in trouble.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking too, man, because didn't the Patriots score on their first two possessions too?
They did.
Like they just
did.
Opened it up, and I'm sitting there thinking, ah, this is not good when you can't.
Not good.
Because I knew the Chiefs' defense wasn't good, you know? But that being said, then the NFC side, who was your pick from the beginning of the playoffs from the NFC side? Who were you thinking was going to make it?
Well, I really didn't have one, man. Like I like the Chargers and I like the Rams. Either of them would have been fine with me, you know. And so Rams coming out of it is cool, you know. It brings back, it's a little nostalgia, man. The greatest show on turf, man.
Yeah.
Take you back to those days, you know. So I can dig that. And you know, of course, I'm a pull for them now because you know they're about to take on them nasty Patriots.
Yes, I know, man. I think, have you seen that picture going around Facebook that says who America's cheering for in every state is Rams, except New Orleans has the Patriots symbol, or Louisiana, and then up in New England, it's all New England, but everywhere else is Rams, because they know everybody hates the Patriots, you know, and
it's
just because they're so good, too. I know people get upset, and they're like, it's just a game. How can you hate the Patriots? And I'm like, because they're good. Nobody wants to see that. You know, nobody wants the Patriots to win. And Tom Brady, he's just...
That's not why I hate the Patriots. I don't hate the Patriots because they're good. I hate the Patriots because they're our natural enemy as a Colts fan. Yeah, they could be terrible, but I hate them for that reason. Like, no, thank you. Yeah. And then I hate all Patriots fans that are in South Carolina. If you're listening, you're not a real Patriots fan. Like, why are you even wearing those jerseys around here? Get them out. I was playing.
Well, it's like here, man. Okay, so here in Colorado, there are legitimate Raiders and Chiefs fans because – and they wear their stuff because they hate the Broncos, you know, and the Broncos hate them. So they wear their stuff. But then I see guys wearing – Seattle Seahawks stuff here, and I'm thinking, you're not a Seahawks fan, man. You've never even been to Seattle, you know. Like this is not true. You're not a Seahawks fan, and I'm just thinking, how is that even possible? But they do it.
Right, right. So yeah, and you know, people always look at me funny because in South Carolina, North Carolina, because we got a team late. it's probably about 50% of them are Steelers fans. You'd be glad to know that. Yes. And then the other 50% are Cowboys fans. Just because those were the teams, you know, you might sprinkle some Miami or some Falcons here and there, but it's not, you know, those two are the stronger teams, the the bigger dynasties. So, I had a buddy, huge Steelers fan. He went to the Panthers game a couple years ago and he was like, dude, it was terror towels and it looked like a Steelers home game because there's so many Steelers fans in the Carolinas.
The Steelers fans, man, they travel well, and that's fun to see because then you watch them play teams like Denver and stuff, and there's this huge section of Steelers fans. You know, I'm not brave enough to go to Denver in my Steelers stuff, man. I want to make it home alive, you know. Yeah. But there's a lot of it. they travel well. Now, staying in football, we saw some crazy things happen this with the playoffs, right? We saw both championship games go into overtime, which is
that was Drake's fault.
Yeah, that was Drake's fault for sure. That one we can blame on him without being all Illuminati-ish. But
right,
we see these games go into overtime, and the one that's upsetting everybody. No, both of them upset everybody for different reasons. The one that's like made people the maddest, I think, though, is the Rams and Saints because you saw that no call pass interference. The guy just lit him up, man, and nothing was called. You know, what did you think about that when you saw that take place?
Well, so okay, you know, more of my background. When I was in college, I studied, sports and physiology and all of that stuff. And so part of our assignment was to be referees. We had to, you know, learn all the rules. We actually had to ref games, football, basketball, all that stuff. So, of course, I went crazy, you know. But here's the thing. Like, so I see so much that's missed, you know, real time.
Right.
Or, like, if there's a replay. You know, I could tell my wife, I was like, oh, this is that. She's like, how do you know? I was like, you just know the game.
Yeah.
So it was a bad call. I mean, or a bad no call, but it's not like it's the only one. Like, right. I guess because it wasn't my team, I'm not as passionate about it, but I see that happen so often in the NFL. That I wasn't surprised and I'm not like, you know, burn the city down. But it definitely was a terrible no call. It definitely was a pass interference, no doubt about it. I mean, I think the referees even tweeted about it the next day, like, right. My bad, you know.
Sorry.
Which I think is hilarious. But you know, so because I can think of, I mean, even in the Patriots game, I can think of several, you know,
right.
Non-calls, pass interference, cause I played corner and I know, you know, when you play corner, you know, you got to turn when the ball is coming, you know, you can't face guard. All of that stuff goes on, man. And, you know, and I'm guessing because it's so fast, you know, it's hard to catch, but yeah, I wasn't terribly upset just cause it's just the nature of the beast, man. Stuff like that happens.
Well, and you hear it oftentimes too, and this is why I wasn't so. I mean, the dude whacked him, right? I mean, he hit him hard, and
sure.
It should have been a penalty. But the thing is there's that one meme going around that says the refs missed this call, these calls too, and there's four of them with the Saints like pulling Jared Goff's face mask, know, things like that that they didn't call. So. This is something that because all the coaches say it. Mike Tomlin says it all the time because they're the most penalized team in the NFL because for whatever reason. But he says it all the time. You can't blame a loss on the refs. You can't blame it on bad calls because everybody gets them. What are your thoughts on that? Is this something that the Saints fans should be saying, yeah, this is legitimately bad? Or is this something that they should say, no, we should have beat them without that call?
Right. Yeah. So a real true fan that knows the game, knows the sport, understands that, you know, one play call or whatever don't win or lose the game. Because like I said, there's so many other factors. There's so much you could have done. You know, what about drop passes? You know, there was a couple of those. What about, you know, miss assignments? What about wrong routes? You know, so if you're going to nitpick at anything, man, you gotta bring the whole thing into view. And that's where you get the loss. Yeah. You know, the call was terrible. And sometimes it will come down to a call. I mean, I witnessed it personally. Just to look more of my story. My senior year in basketball, we was in the semifinals. You know, the next game was the state championship, and the team we were playing was taking the ball out. And we were on defense, and when they inbound the ball, one of our players tipped the ball. You know, when the ball is touched, the clock's supposed to start. There was only 3 seconds left. They didn't start the clock. The ball rolled all the way to the corner. They picked the ball up, shot a 3-1 the game.
Oh, man.
So the game was decided on that shot. You know what I mean? So, yeah. But, you know, I could say, well, we shouldn't have been that close, or we should have been leading. You know, some calls are like that. I don't think that call was a – for sure win or lose call, for sure.
All right, and then that goes to the other side of the ball, the other side of the playoff bracket there, because the other side we saw an overtime game, and something else that's controversial now, it wasn't then, or maybe it wasn't, I just didn't pay attention, is everybody's upset now about the overtime rule in the NFL, because they're saying, of course, when the Patriots get the toss and they give the ball to Brady, they're going to score. I just heard somebody today, can't even think of who it was now. Deion Sanders. He was saying everybody in the world that was watching that game wanted to see Patrick Mahomes get the ball and get a chance too. Everybody did.
Mm-hmm.
But he didn't get the chance because of the overtime rule. Is the overtime rule in the NFL, does it just suck? Is it one of those things that needs to change? Is it, do we need to play the NFL more like college? Or what would be your ideal overtime situation there for the NFL teams?
So, I mean, ideally for me and for probably most listeners or watchers of the game, you would want both teams to have opportunity, you know, with the, just like in college. I mean, that is ideal. When it, pretty much what the NFL rule is it's all about the toss. Like literally the weight of the game lies on heads or tails.
Right.
I mean, which is technically fair because heads or tails is not a biased choice. It's a flip of the coin. You know, it's chance 50-50 equal opportunity. It's technically fair, but. Like I'm like everybody else. I would much rather have saw Brady, okay, score, Mahomes get the ball, score, another overtime. Brady, score, whatever, until somebody don't score.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? That I would definitely much rather see that than it all the action happened literally at the middle of the field before the overtime. That's where the action that was the key moment in the win of the game was a flip of a coin. That's disappointing.
Yeah, and I think, you know, that just looking at if they both got the opportunity, how much that would help somebody like Patrick Mahomes or somebody like that grow up in those situations. Like, is he for real or is he just like crazy good this year and next year he's going to hit his sophomore slump even though it'll be his third year in the league? But this first year playing, you know, I wanted to see, let's see what he does under the pressure, under the lights. And he did perform during regulation, but overtime's a different animal in the AFC Championship to go to the Super Bowl. I would have loved to see that.
Oh, yeah, yeah. And I think he would have showed up just like he showed up in the game. You know, just like when the Patriots went up the next to the last time. And he went down and scored right behind it.
Yeah.
I think he would have did excellent. And I would have loved for him to have that opportunity.
So now our Super Bowl set. We have the Rams and the stupid Patriots. Who are you picking to win it? Who is your pick? Who are you going to say this is the Super Bowl champ this year, Rams or Patriots?
Well, I mean, I hope it's the Rams, man. I mean, well, you know, like, I hope it's the Rams, but like I'm like, okay, if the Patriots win, will Belichick and old boy just retire, just take end on top, man. You know, just get out of here, get your last one, and get out. That would be if they agreed to retire after the Super Bowl, I would say, go Patriots.
Oh, wouldn't that be awesome, man? Oh, like I'm waiting for both of those guys to go. Brady more than Belichick, but still, man, I'm ready for them to be out of the NFL scene. And Gronkowski too. I cannot stand Gronk. That guy, man. I am not a fan of his at all. So, but I'm picking the Patriots to win, and this is why, because every team I pick loses. So I'm picking the Patriots to win. Hoping that they lose, but that will be my Super Bowl pick. And we have a couple weeks until the game. Well, I guess one and a half now, but we'll be seeing it here shortly. So that'll be interesting to see those two teams play out. Now, to close it out, I do this every week, and it's going to be a theme. And again, if you're listening to this and you agree with something I've said or Dwayne said, you can send in a voice message to anchor.fm/God Reigns Sportscast and go on there. There's a message board. You can record your message. I'll play it on the podcast or at least shout it out as long as there's not bad words in there or women's sports or NASCAR. So we'll talk about it on the podcast. But that's if you disagree, if you agree, if you just want to throw your two cents in, especially when it comes to this segment as to what I call the loser of the week. Now, this is where I go and me and my guest on the show pick a loser from sports, any sport except NASCAR and women's sports, and we say this is why they're the loser this week. As I said earlier, I was going to pick D Ford. He was going to be my loser until my loser this week is Steph Curry. Now, everybody's going to say, how could it be Steph Curry? This guy's incredible, the best shooter ever. Blah, blah, blah. Because of that stupid slip and fall. Did you see that?
Dude, like, no lie. Literally, I'm on Snapchat, and I pulled it up just because I knew you was about to talk about it. And I'm watching it right now. Your listeners can't see it. Oh, I'm literally watching it on Snapchat. It is hilarious.
But then he airballs, like the worst airball ever after that. And he called for it. That's what made him my loser. Not that he slipped and fell. Not that it was just an air ball, but that he slips, falls, goes to the side, calls for the ball specifically, and then air balls his three by a mile. I'm just sitting there thinking, that you are my loser this week, man. And the reason why, too, is I probably won't ever have the opportunity to say that about Steph Curry again, but he is my loser this week. And I'm mad. I'm bitter at the Warriors because they blew out the Nuggets last week, was it? Yeah, last week they blew out the Nuggets and took over first place in the West. But, Steph Curry, you are my loser this week. So, Dwayne The Rock Atkinson, who is your loser this week?
Well, I'm going with D Ford.
That makes sense.
Even though I'm a week late, because that burned me up. I'm talking about... I already described the play. The game was in the bag. Interception, going to the Super Bowl, but a guy we pay millions of dollars to line up on the right side of the ball is lined up in the neutral zone. You did not look to your left or to your right and say, wait a minute. That color is mine. Can I back up? Wait a minute. Where is the ball? Am I equal with the ball? Back up. None of that. I don't know where in the world what he was thinking, where he was at, but I do this. They might Kaepernick him.
He'll be the next Kaepernick. That's going to be a prediction for 2019-2020, we'll say. If that comes true.
That was horrible.
If that comes true, one of the listeners will send you $10 or something like that.
Sounds like a winner.
All right. Well, we're going to wrap things up right there. And this has been a fun conversation. We talked college basketball. We talked professional basketball. We talked football. We talked playoffs. All these things. We talked racism. I mean, that wasn't even planned. It just naturally came out, which was good, I think, and brought some things to light there that you've dealt with in your past. And and things like that. But guys, I just want to thank you for listening to this episode, and hope that it was beneficial for you to listen to. And you know, as much as we talk about sports, we love sports, we watch sports. Some of us played sports. Some of you tried to play sports, you just weren't any good. But we've all done that in the past. But in the end, we know it's just a game, and that God still reigns, no matter win, lose, no matter even if the Patriots win the Super Bowl and it seems like the devil is running things, God still reigns. So we're okay, you know. So just keep your heads up on that. God reigns. Sportscast. Figure it out. Find it on anchor.fm and leave a voice message. Let me know how we're doing. If you're liking the podcast, things that you would like to see, different segments, I'm going to kind of let it grow organically. So thanks for listening, guys. Dwayne, thank you for being here. I know it's late there, so I'm trying to let you go so you can get to bed.
Yes, sir. It is past my bedtime. Thank you, sir.
All right, guys. We'll talk to you later. We'll see you next week.